and I got nervous, and I don't know what I'm going to say.
I know. We need to talk about something very serious.
Okay, but I was going to say, okay. All right. What?
What's the deal with all the clothes in this room?
Before we even get to the state of this room that we're in, how can we come at this podcast with anything but utter, sheer, and desperate embarrassment?
We're going to do that every time we record?
Well, I think we're going to do it every time we record 6 weeks apart from the last time.
Listen, I think by now people have the expectation that this podcast is going to drop when it drops.
No, but I don't think that's fair. We've said many times, Sam, make a commitment and you got to show up on time to your commitment. And I feel really bad because I recall myself apologizing last time in a song or something and then also saying, we won't do it again, beep boop. We'll be around next week.
Yeah, we'll do it again. But no, we need to get back to the pressing matter at hand. We're recording in a pile of trash today.
It's not trash. It's called clothing. It's clothing. It's hairspray. It's, I see sunscreen in here. I see glitter for my hair.
There are hundreds of pieces of clothing in this room where we record.
I see dog blankets. And I see some books. I see tissues. I see an amp. Amp, that's yours.
Yeah, the amp is up on a shelf where it always
is. I see.
How many pieces of these clothing would you say, percentage-wise, are yours?
I see a cream over here that's made for hips that don't work anymore. That would be your cream. And do you want me to read the name of it? Is this going to be interesting? Since you went in this direction, I'm going to punish you with the name of this cream.
Yeah, go ahead. Try
Diclofenac Gel. Diclofenac Sodium Topical Gel Arthritis Pain Reliever. I actually am genuinely laughing because I didn't know it said arthritis pain reliever on it.
That's what it's
Sammo,
for.
Samo, this is for your old man hips, right? Yeah,
it is, and we'll get to me doing jumping jacks on stage in front of people soon. But
oh, yeah. But does it work? Okay, does this cream work for your old man hips?
I don't know the answer to that.
I want to say that if it doesn't work, maybe stop, because it says right on it, heart attack and stroke warning. It also says you're at risk for what is this? Liver failure. Liver damage may occur. Probably don't use this. I'm just saying.
I think if I bathe in it, it would be one thing. But if I rub it on my hip once a month, it's probably not a big deal.
So, but apparently, all right, that's not what this podcast is about. And we're getting farther and farther away from the apology that we owe everybody. But is this it says it's
Tylenol.
It's an NSAID. So you can put an NSAID on your skin and then it rubs into your skin and treats it like Tylenol, basically?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Now, does it work? I don't know.
Ask a doctor.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we always have the cream with us in case of emergency, right? In case your old man hips start to go wild. But I feel like you haven't used it on the last six trips, so I ain't gonna pack it anymore because guess what? It's heavy.
Yep. So I like how you just glanced over all the clothes in the room.
Well, we talked about that, but here's the thing. And can we... Okay, so why don't we relate the clothes to the apology? Let's do that. I'm going to do that by saying, guys, I'm so sorry. We have disappeared on you again. It's been crazy cuckoo bananas, and we were traveling away from home for 8 weeks straight, which is why this room is full of suitcases and clothes.
There's so many clothes,
though. I
know,
though. But Sam, it doesn't matter the amount of clothes. It doesn't matter the quantity. The whole idea is that we were for 8 weeks, and we were out traveling on the road, and we did a 24-hour road trip in the midst of that, and then, okay, we did the road trip home from Florida, 24 hours in 2 days, and then we dropped the dogs off and immediately turned around and left the dogs at the house with your dad here, and then went back down to Connecticut, not too bad, but 3 hours away from our house so we could speak at a conference for 3 days, 4 days before we got to finally come back home again after that. So that's why there's a lot of suitcases.
And I look forward to being the one to put them all away. Kaylee, how was the conference?
Oh, man, it was really good, actually. It was great, fantastic. Shout out. Can we shout out?
Please.
Shout out Lens and Light. Lens and Light conference that was in Mystic, Connecticut. And it is run by one lovely, beautiful, talented, incredible member of our dog photography community, actually. It's not a dog photography conference, though. It's more like a portrait and wedding sort of conference. But Jennifer Zapatka, I'm shouting you out with Love and Oats Photography because she is one of the two co-founders of this New England-based portrait and wedding conference, which is awesome. And how did I get to speak at it, you ask, as a dog photographer? Well, what was cool was she kind of like was able to shoehorn me in there as a speaker because she knew she wanted me to speak, but she had to figure out how to make a dog photographer fit into the overall puzzle of the, you know, kind of like wedding photography situation that they had there. Mm-hmm. So she stuck me in the commercial track, which was cool because I got to talk all about my like commercial work with big brands and basically like how to quote for jobs and how to shoot commercially versus shooting like for a private client. Like there's a lot of different ways you have to approach it like stylistically. And compositionally and things like that, but depending on where the images are going to end up eventually. So it was kind of cool because I got to talk about all that stuff. I mean, of course, my talk was like peppered with a million like really fun, colorful dog photos because that's just what I do. But it was cool, though, because it was just kind of a different side of the business I don't get to talk about that much with, you know, like when I speak and present. So it was cool. So shout out. That was awesome.
Yeah, the talk was really good. The conference was cool. There was a very young crowd there. Chris Miller time. There was a super young crowd there, which I thought was awesome. So, if there's any younger listeners who are into photography, I would suggest going to their conference next year, Lens and Light 2025.
Wow. I got to say something.
Yep.
I just opened my Chris Miller drink.
Yep.
And it's a bubbly. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's always a bubbly or something like a sparkle. And this one, I just got it literally right before we got here. We've had the craziest day already. And right before we got here, we went to the grocery store. And I got this Bellini Bliss bubbly. I've never seen this kind before. It is peach, pineapple, and mango flavors. Woo! I gotta tell you, I'm interested.
They're all terrible.
Mm-mm. This one's pretty good. Have I said before? Maybe I've said this before. Sam thinks that sparkly waters taste like TV static.
They do. They're all equally as awful.
Well, I don't know. I love them. It keeps me, like, off of the soda. Wow. Okay. So, all right. So we were traveling. We're sorry. We've absolutely disappeared. And believe me, every Thursday night, which was the nights that we record, I felt so guilty and awful. Just like that we weren't getting to our recordings, but we were staying like we were in different places, different hotels, different Wi-Fi connections that would or would not work. And like I said, then we were on the road and then we went to speak at Lens and Light. And we've also been doing a lot of rescue work. So we've been like back and forth to the shelters. And today, well, okay, so now we've been home for what? Like, we're back in New Hampshire. We're back in the podcast loft, but the problem is it's full of clothes, but we already heard about that. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, how long have we been home for?
We've been home for...
a week.
Is it a week?
I think it's one singular week. And I think most of that week was filled up with Lens and Light.
Yes, that's right. We got back last Thursday.
Okay. All right. So now we're back and now we've been already like jumping into our next project. And also today we were at the shelter, which was so amazing. And it was so fun. It was amazing. It was our first time at this particular shelter. It's an awesome, awesome shelter that I'd always heard a lot about. But just for whatever reason, we never connected up until today. And we got to photograph one of their like really long-term residents and try to give him, you know, kind of a shot. And so it was a special day, but I will say, the weather was miserable. Miserable.
The weather was bad. The dog was cool. The shelter was very cool. Kaylee, what advice would you give to people who are trying to photograph at the shelter for the first time?
The first time?
Yeah.
I would say make sure you have a really awesome volunteer like handler with you. So somebody who's really... extremely like well versed in each dog, somebody who knows the dogs very well, and mm-hmm. someone who knows exactly like what the particular quirks are of any given dog and how to kind of handle and manage that dog in the most effective way, because every dog is so different there. And like today at this rescue, they had like three dogs in particular that are kind of they're longer term residents that are like a little bit more challenging behaviorally. And the girl who runs it, who is awesome, her name is Kristen, and she was so great at telling us, really clearly communicating each individual dog's very unique and quirky like personality traits.
Yeah, they knew them really well.
Yeah, so that was kind of awesome because it was just like, you know, this dog can't handle like a quick introduction. He's going to be like scared if he has to meet you too fast. This other dog has no issue at all with meeting you, but he's going to get excited if you try to play or if you have like a toy or a treat. He's going to get overly excited, and then he gets like too aroused, and then he gets like crazy when he's like too overly stimulated. And then this other dog is going to, you know, be fine with meeting you, but he's going to be afraid if you take out your camera too fast or whatever. So they knew all these things so intimately about their dogs, which was so excellent, because it really helped us like effectively work with and coax, you know, the most beautiful like soul and spirit and personality out of, you know, the dog we worked with today to get, you know, something that's incredibly like marketable of him, which is the whole idea, right? Like shelter photography, that's the whole idea. So it's just essentially like a different form of marketing. You're just trying to display this dog in their absolute best light. Well, of course, never ever concealing like if they have issues or challenging behavioral things, like of course that will be all be disclosed to an adopter. But I think just getting the eyes on the dog so that you could draw somebody in and then, you know, like explain, you know, what's going on with the individual dog, and then they can, you know, decide if it's a good fit for them or whatever. But for our job as photographers, it's all about like the marketing, right? Like the flashy imagery or the just eye-catching, visually arresting images that are going to make people stop in their tracks and like at least consider that dog. So I felt really proud of what we did today, specifically because it was like bad outside today. It wasn't necessarily very cold, but think about it. It's March in New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's as good as it gets out today, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And it was overcast, not a shred of sunlight anywhere in the entire atmosphere. It was like just overcast, gray, and the type of overcast that isn't even epic or interesting. It's like this very flat gray sky. But no rain. I was hoping to time it with rain because I figured, okay, if it's raining, at least we could have like maybe some backlight, like some flashes, like shooting through the rain and getting like something really kind of epic and stormy. But it didn't rain either. The ground was wet because it had like rained all morning. But by the time we got there, it was done raining. So it was just like, it was just extremely underwhelming and extremely non-inspiring for a photographer. The grounds are beautiful, but they're just like, you know, 2 inches of mud across the entire place right now. So it was a unique challenge.
There was no special light to be spoken of.
God, so no. We had to make it.
We had to make it. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And then add to that the fun challenge of, and listen, Sam, not to call you out, because like I didn't double check anything. I was like, Sam, did you pack everything? And you're like, sure did. And then when we got there, you were like, oh, Kaylee, I forgot what?
Yeah. All right. So you're gonna call me out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's sum up both of our mornings.
Okay. I slept. And you got up and you had a phone call with our awesome tax guy. And then you had a phone call with a lawyer for the next big project we're working on. And then you went to the gym, I think. And then you went to the grocery store, I think. And then you came home and you immediately got ready. And I slept until a few minutes before we left.
Yes. Not to mention.
I'm not denying that.
Not to mention cleaning the car, taking care of the dogs, trying to get myself ready, getting all of your stuff packed
up in the
car.
I'm not denying that at all. But remember when you packed up and I was like, all right. I was like, I listed off the checklist. I'm like, all these things. And then I was like, I trust you. I'm not going to double check it. Let's just go, because we just had to go at that point. So I'm not blaming you, but I am asking you what you forgot.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that our adapter for our old EF Canon lenses was attached to an old lens that was not in the bag. And so we have one mirrorless lens.
Yeah.
And the rest needed the adapter. Now, we did have an old adapter that is broken.
Yeah.
That came with us. So that allows us to physically attach the lenses to the camera, but not to actually operate the lenses.
Yeah.
So they would only work at their widest aperture.
Yep. And then I had to manually focus it.
And you had to manually focus.
And I just want to say that like I was shooting on a 50 at 1.2, having to manually focus on the eye at 1.2.
Right. So the new
nearly impossible.
So the new cameras do give you focus peaking, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah,
so
it did help. It did help.
If you don't know what focus peaking is, it's a way to visualize your manual focus while you look through the camera. So you can actually see the field of focus, and it kind of lights up in little sparkly like red bits.
I guess that's probably good for video.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely necessary for a lot of videos.
Because there's no autofocus. Wait, there is autofocus on video
it
on
depends
Canon.
It depends on the camera.
On our camera, on the Canon R3, I recall like the animal eye works and everything.
R3 has autofocus.
Sick.
Yep. I have a Blackmagic camera that does not have autofocus.
Yeah, okay. And that has focus peaking though, right? So you can like at least see, kind of.
It's very, very difficult for dogs.
I remember when you were like, oh, I need this Blackmagic. Wow, it's amazing. It's going to be so amazing. Yeah, I need it. And then what? Now you're like, oh, I wish I had a camera that had autofocus.
Well, listen, you shoot something, you know, on, for like, you know, landscape or people or things like that. It's one thing. You start to get a dog involved, things get totally different.
What I tell you.
So would you say today's shoot at the shelter was a big success?
Are you getting my dynamicism? Are you getting my loud? Are you getting my very quiet?
Are you getting it all? I'm trying to keep this thing somewhat listenable and on the rails today.
How is it looking on the screen when I do?
See, now that we're back at home, I have the proper mics and compressor, so I don't have to yell at you every 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're using, like, the good mics. That's wild. Okay, that's amazing. Okay, so you were asking me what? Back to it.
I was asking you how you thought the shoot went today.
So, yeah. Okay, so besides the fact that I had to... So what I was going to do is I was going to start the shoot with, like, not my super wide-angle lens. By the way, if you guys have caught up with the previous episode that we released, I believe we mentioned that we bought the brand new 10-20... The 10-20... RF, sorry, I always mess that up. The RF lens for the Canon R3. And that means that I can go as wide as I've ever gone now, 10 mil, which is amazing. But because that was my only working camera today, because we forgot the adapter, my own working lens, I was like trying to start by doing just natural light, really easy stuff for the dog, which would be because they told me, you know, like he's got some like issues and he gets overexcited and you really need to go slow with him. And they made us do a big long walk with him before we even took out camera gear. So I was like, in my head, I was calculating how to approach this. And I was like, okay, I've got to start with like 70 to 200. Let's put it at the end, 200 end. Let's get him really far away from me. Like maybe he's standing on a log or something, just like really simple stuff just to get him used to the fact that this clicky black box is coming out and this crazy red hair lady is going to follow him around with it and you know, whatever. So that was my plan. And then once we figured out we didn't have it, when we went to shoot, I'm like, okay, all I have is a 10-20, and that's going to be interesting for natural light, number one. And number two, I mean, even on the 20 end, I have to be so close to him. So I was like, oh God, we got to flex. And then, so that was a little like difficult because we had to flex and then also like be like, you know, play it off like this is totally fine in front of like the people. They were so amazing and lovely. And I know they were so excited for us to be there. And actually, in the end, it worked out beautifully. We got amazing stuff that I'm so happy with. But I was like, oh, I don't want to let on that we like totally forgot an important thing. I mean, I did tell them exactly what it was. But
luckily, the one lens we did have is the one that you used to make your signature work.
Yes, exactly. So that's good, but I wasn't going to start that way. You know what I mean? I was just going to give them some really like straightforward, beautiful, traditional natural light stuff just to warm them up. So I couldn't do that. So I did end up using like the 20 end of the 10-20 just natural light, which actually the shots I just showed Sam, one of them came out awesome, like really awesome. So in the end, it really just pushed me outside of my comfort zone and it was great and totally fine. But we did also try to use the 50 at one point, and that's when I had to like manually focus the 50 mil at 1.2. Which was interesting, but I just looked at the shots right before we started this. Yeah. And honestly, Sam, they look legit. They look good.
Oh, you did your first manual focus photo? Oh, baby's first manual.
Baby does the manual focus.
The shelter director was there, and she referred to our dog model as baby of the day.
Yeah, he won.
And I loved that.
I love that, too. He won baby of the day award.
Baby of the day.
Baby of the day. Every day. Who's the baby of the day every day?
Joshua.
Yeah, Joshua.
Yeah.
It's true. Yep. And Junie's a little shit rink of the day. Every day.
Now we have to mark this as explicit.
I'm crossing my eyes because I'm trying to look at you, but there's this like bar from the microphone right in front of my eyes. I'm like,
well, then sit off to the side and tilt the microphone.
All right, hold on, let me move it. Okay.
There you go.
All right. So I think the shoot went great. I will say that once we did finally start to do like our style, you know, really dog breathy stuff, with a 10-20, it was amazing. Like, it was a crappy, awful day, but we went inside this barn and there was like hay bales everywhere. And then we had it had like the cool ceiling, like that really traditional like post and beam like barn ceiling. So we like lit that up with a small flash with a pro photo. What the heck is that thing called?
That's an A A2.
I always forget. The Profoto A2. It looks like a little Coke can, basically. It's like a small flat. I don't want to call it a frost strobe. And then we used the B1 in the front. So we kind of had this awesome light sandwich going on. And we lit up the hay and we lit up the ceiling. And so it wasn't like my typical outdoor thing, but it looks awesome. I'm really happy with it. I'm really happy with what we made today on such a crappy, like featureless day. So that's pretty good. But it does remind me that we should probably move to Florida. Just saying.
that's been a long-term discussion, and, yeah. and we will get there. The other thing to mention about the shoot today, and actually there's one other shoot that I want to talk about before we actually talk about our photo of the day. And that's, we had this dog hopping up on basically a staircase made of hay bales.
Yeah.
And you know, the first time, you know, the dog's like, what am I doing? And then he was kind of slow to get up there or whatever. Then he got treats. And then, you know, they learn so quickly that after a minute, you know, he's just jumping up there and then looking at us.
He was like blasting up. It was so cute.
Where's my food? And when we were done and we were packing up, he was still jumping up there. They just learned that quickly, like, oh, this is where I get the food.
Hey, let's shout him out. Ralph, Mr. Ralph, Mr. Big Ralph from Second Chance Ranch in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and New Boston?
New Boston.
New Boston, New Hampshire.
You said, remember when we were looking for houses? We looked in New Boston.
Was that the 6,000 square foot house that was like soulless and weirdly in our budget that was also awful?
Yeah, there was one. No. That one was like up in the lakes region. There was one that was like this amazing farm property, and it had like a couple of like horse arenas on it. And I was like, that's it. Cause I wanted to make it into the dog breath farm. But it was, I think before we got like fully pre-approved. So even if we wanted it, like we would have lost it. Cause it was something you had to, you know, bid on right away or whatever. But the other house was one that you found that you absolutely loved. And it was, I don't know how to describe it. We looked at so many houses, but this one, I don't think we physically saw this one, but you pulled it up on Zillow. It was like your favorite and showed everybody. And, I don't know how to describe it. It was really nice, though, but I think I nixed it because it didn't have a second floor. Because I really don't like a one-floor house.
Oh, yeah. Now you just love going up and down the stairs whenever you forget something.
I love it, love it, love it. And I go up and down, and I go, and I realize, well, I carry the dogs up and down all the time, too. And so I just feel like out of shape. But that's just a different issue. I like a two-story house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, Sam? I would take a three-story house.
Yeah, we'll get you a dumbwaiter and we'll just shove you in it.
Yes,
pull you up.
Or Junie. Just Junie comes up in it from time to time.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You ever live in a three-story house?
How many houses do you think I lived in?
I don't know. Three. Am I right? Three? The one that you lived in until you were 2 years old, the one you grew up in, and this one.
Yeah, there was one other house I lived in for a little
while. Well,
when
like
I was
everything
a little,
else was
little
in an
kid.
Apartment, right?
This is neither here nor there.
Well, I mean, this podcast is neither here nor there. So tell me.
You want to hear all my housing
no,
stories?
No, I just want to know. Okay, let me tell me if I'm right. One
no,
house.
No, that, you're not right that I've lived in a three-story house.
Oh, no, I didn't say three-story. I said three houses.
Oh, three houses?
Yeah. Your baby house, your growing up house, and your big boy house. Which is accurate, though, right? Your big boy house is your own house that you own.
Kaylee, remember when you said you wanted to keep this podcast like concise today and that we were going to get this done in the time that it takes to bake a baked potato?
Oh, that's right. Because I was like, can you put the potato on? Because I was like, I want a loaded baked potato so bad. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, bacon bits, you know, and then you get like sour cream, you get butter. What else you get?
You're
chives,
doing
cheese.
Such a bad job.
Chives and cheese. And then you put it. And so I said, Sam, how long does a potato take? And you're like, forever. Like they take hours. You said it
Not
takes an
hour.
Okay, you say it takes an hour. I'm like, okay, put it on and then we'll do the podcast and then we'll get the baked potato right when it's ready, when it's hot potato out of the oven. Is it in the oven right now?
It sure is.
Oh shit. Okay, so what were we saying?
There was another shoot that I wanted to make sure that we got to talk about, and that was we got to take another special dog out for a nice special day when we were down in Florida.
Yes, it was so
and
nice.
And it's also something I want to encourage any of our Florida listeners to do because it was a great experience and they're a great shelter. So you want to give them a little shout out?
Yes. Yeah, so they're called the Polk County Bully Project. And that's in Lakeland, Florida. It's like dead center of the middle of the state. It's kind of like not too far from Orlando if you're not super familiar with the area. But if you're a Florida person and you live, you know, around that area, it's pretty awesome because this rescue does the ability to gives you the ability to just come. You got to sign up in advance, but it's really simple. It's like a super simple form online, and you show up and you can pick up any dog that you pick off their website as long as they're like available and ready, and you can take them out for the day and you can have just an adventure day, and you can pick like, I think like a 3-hour slot or like a 6-hour slot. Or you can pick overnight and you can do like an overnight adventure. And they were really awesome, like a really, really great rescue. I just loved the vibe and how everybody I don't know, just kind of the ethos and the vibe around there. And of course, it's a bully focused rescue. So that's like my favorite thing on earth. So we did. We signed up it showed up and kind of I had like a short list. I had like 8 dogs on the list that looked like they had been there a long time, might need some help. So we rolled up and they're like, oh, awesome. Like, which dog you want to take? And I was like, here's my list of 8 dogs. And then they're like, I'm like, pick whichever. So they picked us a dog named 3.
Which maybe is the worst dog name I've ever heard.
Well, I just think it's confusing because when you say 3, you're like, hey, look at this guy. This is 3. Like, people probably think I mean his age, like that he's 3 years old. Right?
Right.
I don't know, whatever. But whatever. So he was 1 year old, actually. But he was, wow. Talk about like the perfect specimen biologically, like anatomically, the most perfect animal. Mm-hmm. He was white, like mostly white with little brown like butt. And he had one sticky up ear, like Junie's ears, and then one floppy one, which is probably the most endearing characteristic on the planet that a dog could have, is like the half flop ear. And like these gorgeous, just stunning, like super almondy eyes. Beautiful.
Now, you just shared his photo on Dog Breath. On Dog Breath photo at on your Instagram, right?
On my Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely check out at Dog Breath photo
photography.
Is it Dog Breath photography on Instagram?
No, my Instagram is Dog Breath photography. My Facebook is Dog Breath photo.
Understood.
Because I don't know why photography is like I don't know why I did that. To be honest with you.
So yeah, check out that Instagram for photos of 3. But yeah, we had a great day out with him. It was very, very different. Walking a very strong 1-year-old dog.
Yeah, we're so used to Joshua's little waddling 12-year-old little bum.
At one point, he was very similar.
He was, yeah, and it's kind of funny because I think we forgot like how strong Joshua used to be.
Yeah,
and he's still like, if he sees something he desperately wants, like a squirrel or another dog, like he's still really strong. But these days, he waddles.
It kind of made me really like see an added value in adopting like senior or at least older dogs.
Yeah.
Where it's just like they've kind of chilled out a bit.
Right.
And
they're
not going to like just immediately pull you down and that sort of thing. I mean, 3, I could handle 3 just fine, but I could see like, you know, like a smaller like woman trying to walk him or something like that, he's gonna really give her a run for her money.
Well, also your shoulder was like really sore by the end of the day.
Remember,
you were like kind of rocked and I was like, what's wrong? And you're like, the dog, I was just walking 3. And I walked him 2, but I didn't walk him as much as you because I made the decision, the epic decision, to bring my camera gear. Well, of course I wanted to bring my camera gear, right? But then I kind of forgot about, we were gonna go on a hike with him. And I wanted to do the hike first and just pay attention to him, enjoy him, and not worry about photos until after. And then I realized that we were, like, no offense to Florida, but we were in Florida and we were going to park the car at a hiking, like a trailhead, and then leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I don't think so. Florida is the number one. Tampa, Florida, we weren't in Tampa, but Tampa is the number one like place that it's either the country. It's probably the country in the U.S. for like Grand Theft Auto. Also, car break-ins are like extremely like common and much more commonplace to happen in Florida,
and especially at hiking trails.
Well, yeah, and we had met a friend of ours, Pavlina. Shout out Pavlina, at a Mayaca State Park. We saw her down there once and we ran into her and we were so excited to see her, but she was just getting back to her car at this trailhead and her car had, the windows had been smashed.
Yep.
And like things were taken and it was such a bummer. And I don't know, it's just one of those things. You're like, oh crap, I can't actually leave this bag in the car. I didn't even think about it. So then I had to like hike the whole big hike with this huge heavy camera bag. I didn't dare ask you to carry it because I made the mistake. Because you had asked me earlier that day if I just wanted to take one camera and one lens. And I was like, no, I want the whole bag. I want every lens.
80 pounds of camera gear.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I can't ask him to take this. But what did we see there when we were walking 3?
Oh, we saw a big boy alligator.
Big boy, like a nice young man. Nice man. He must have been 10 feet, right? 12 feet, maybe.
Probably 12 feet. Yeah, honestly, massive. He was huge. Yeah.
And he was just like chilling out on the side of the lake that we were walking around. And I was like, I'm not at all like scared of stuff like that at all. But I was, you know, we had this dog and I didn't know the dog super well. And if it was going to like try and interact with the gator. And so we had to take a wide berth around that guy.
I feel like gators... like maybe they don't smell or something because of all the mud. I'm making this up, but like okay. I've never seen a dog
smell.
I've never seen a dog like notice a gator. Like three walked right by him too.
And I mean, what you're saying. I was wondering if you were thinking, do gators themselves have a sense of smell? But what you're saying is you don't think they give off a smell.
Correct. Like I feel like they just smell like the rest of what's around them. Like swamp and mud, maybe. And that sort of thing.
And they look like a rock, you know what I mean, half the time.
Right. Exactly, exactly. So like we weren't even within like 15 feet of him, but like, you know, he was there and he was big and three didn't notice at all. We walked, you know, right by him. We passed him back when we went back to the car too.
Yeah. We just had to take a wide berth because I just didn't know. Like, I'm like, I don't think this gator would go for a three because he's such a big dog, mm-hmm. but he was a big boy gator too. Like I said,
I don't want to be a part of that.
I got to say something.
Shoot.
Alligators have a keen sense of smell.
Well, yeah, I didn't.
In areas near alligator sightings, it is wise to keep pets inside a fenced area or in the house for a few days, during which the alligator will often move on. If you see an alligator in the roadway, do not attempt to move it.
Oh, thank God you read that.
How good is a gator?
I was planning on moving an alligator.
Alligators
the next time I saw one.
Excellent sight, smell, and hearing. Ooh, mm-hmm. Oh, they have two sets of eyelids.
How about their fashion sense?
One set is much like ours, closing from top to bottom, and a second set, which is transparent, closes from front to rear. Oh, this set is known as a nictitating membrane. Now we're going to win Trivial Pursuit.
All right.
Because we're going to know exactly what that membrane is called. Tell me what it's called, Sam.
The old nicotine membrane.
Perfect. You've won.
Very nice. One last bit of business before we get to our photo.
Business.
I sent off Junie's DNA test
yesterday. Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
So we'll be hearing back in, what, a couple, 2 to 3 weeks,
says. Find out what the hell she is.
And yeah, and then once we get the results, we'll hold just a little contest called Junie. What is she even?
Oh, perfect.
And then basically it will be, you know, I'll figure out how many things she is. Say she's three things and I'll you know, let you know on the podcast and we'll post it on Instagram and say, Junie's DNA came back as three things. What are those three things and what percentage? And whoever gets it closest will win something.
Something.
Yeah.
What can they win? We have so much cool stuff right now.
Yeah.
We have two different calendars. We have two different calendars. We have books, a book. Well, you would get a book.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice one.
And we have some, well, I don't know. I mean, if you weren't at Shutterhound, it's not as cool, but we have some sick Shutterhound swag still. A little bit of it.
How about this? We'll just work this out on the podcast.
Okay.
Even though it's got a little bit of Shutterhound branding on the bottom, I don't think that's a big deal. A Junie towel.
A Junie towel. We have a couple. Okay, that's such a good idea.
We have just a few left, and they are gigantic, oversized,
amazing
Junie
beach towels with Junie's giant face on them, and she's wearing a bikini. It's amazing.
Sunglasses. Oh, it's such a great idea. Flamingo float.
Okay, I love it. Yeah. I'm in. I'm down. We just gotta make sure we get someone's guessing pretty well.
Well, good, and then yeah, they'll get that, you know, just in time for the warm weather to be coming up.
You cannot guess shit rink.
So
we already know that.
so keep an ear out here for Junie. What is she even?
Did we ever explain what shit rink is or where it came from?
You can explain if you want, but you're gonna miss your potato.
Right. So when I first met Junie, I said, "What the hell is she?" I said, "She's like a little shitty wrinkled dog." That's how I described her. And God, do I love her. Listen, I say all this stuff. It's all like in terms of endearment. Like she is so like strange and strange looking and her little face is all like wrinkled up. And so like we called her. Well, let me shout out to our friend Megan who started to call her Young Wrinkle. She was like, she would come over and she'd be like, Young Wrinkle. And that was Junie's little nickname for a while. Then we shortened it to Rink, right? Now she's just Rink and then became Shit Rink. Because she's like I said, little shitty wrinkled dog. Right.
Which then became Rinky Roo, which then became Rudis, which then became Rudis the Barber Beefcake.
Yes. And if anybody loves wrestling, they'll get that and they'll love it.
And then actually Rudis the Barber Rink Cake. Mm. That's her current iteration.
Yes. And then we call her like Rude Rudy, Miss Rudy Toot. What else does she have? Rinkus? Mm-hmm. Rinkus Roo.
Yep. Just Roo.
Rudinsky.
Rudel.
Yep. How does this happen? I think everybody has this with their dogs, though. I'm pretty sure we're not the only ones.
Yeah. June, Junie, Junebo, Junebug, yep. JJ, Joshua Jr.
Yeah, Joshua Jr. And so I often tell Junie she's a very good boy.
Yeah.
Because Joshua gets a very good boy, and she like really loves that and wants to be that. And I say, Junie, anything you want. You can. I say good girl, and she doesn't react as much because Joshua doesn't get that one. He gets the good boy one, and she wants to be like him. So then I just tell Junie she's a very good boy, and then she goes nuts. So I think she prefers that one.
She does. She loves it.
Yeah. So anyway, I know we've had a lot of intro talk, a little bit of how are ya, a little bit of hey, how are ya, how's your father. So if you want to get to it, I mean, I have about a jillion things I could catch up with, not to mention the big, huge project we have on the horizon. But well, we could talk about that next time because I'm not fully ready to announce it.
That needs to be talked about once it's fully ready to be announced.
Fully formed.
It's going to be a big announcement.
That's exciting.
Perhaps the biggest announcement.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's up there. There's been some really crazy, wild, cool stuff we've done in dog birth, in our dog birth history. But this is good.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll get there, but we've been working really hard on that. We've been really busy with like lots of meetings and phone calls and
it's not
going to
slow down anytime soon, baby.
And paperwork and all the things.
So today we're talking about not a dog photo.
Ooh,
but a cat photo.
Is this our first ever cat photo?
Did we talk about Craig's
cats? We might have talked about Craig's cats with Craig, like when we had him on. I think we did.
True.
So second cat photo.
Yes, second cat photo.
Na, 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 na. Unsubscribed cats.
this is what I consider one of those like rare Pokemon card photos.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I feel like I want to do some sort of like photo. Like, I don't want to do this because I saw how much work Craig and Charlotte put into their International Pet Photographer of the Year awards.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want to do some sort of like photography judging thing that's not based on like your composition and things like that, but mm-hmm. on like the rarity of the photo,
okay,
and of like the moment. Complete right. uniqueness or like unreplicatable or unduplicatableness
yeah.
of the photo.
Yeah,
like this photo is like a one of one. Like yeah. if you have a photo of like a nice golden retriever looking, you're looking down on him and he's in grass, like that's probably a nice photo,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but it's
mm-hmm.
not like a once in a lifetime unreplicatable sort of
photo. But as
a photo.
Pokemon goes, what's a common Pokemon? Is it Charizard?
Charizard, Pikachu.
Okay,
Squirtle.
So like it's a low dollar card. I don't know anything about Pokemon the card game though, so I'm not actually sure. But like maybe Charizard is very expensive.
Well, same. I know nothing about about the card, but I do know that like Logan Paul has like a $2 million Pokemon card, which he wore on a necklace around
God,
his neck at WrestleMania,
so douchey.
Which is so funny. But like that card wouldn't be worth $2 million if there was 1,000 of them.
Pikachu's the most common Pokemon card.
So,
it says.
So I feel like this cat photo, is one of those really rare Pokemon card photos that it's very valuable because of its uniqueness, because of its unduplicatable, unreplicatableness. Because this is, you want to describe it? Because we're gonna have this up on our Instagram.
Do we have a break?
No, let me say that.
How about this for the break? Oh, my babies, all my babies, all my friends, all my superstars, all my dog hair covered crazies. Would you do us a favor? And would you, all right, let's try it to sound like the big boys when we say it. Would you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast? Because I think that does good things.
It does do good things. 5 stars only, because I mean, I can't see us deserving anything else.
We stay so well on track.
You know, take 5 seconds out of your day, head to iTunes or Spotify or your podcast provider of choice, and give us a good old 5-star review.
Yeah, we never ever say that. I always like forget to, because I don't know. I that's just not really at top of my mind. But people always say like, why don't you ever ask for reviews? And I don't know why I don't. So I just did. It'd be so awesome if you could take a second to review the podcast. That'd be rad.
Right. So in the meantime, you can also head to Instagram. You can check out at Adventures in Dog Photography, and you can check out the photo that Kaylee is about to describe right now.
Will you guys also review my book? If you bought my book on Amazon, I'm just saying, it would be so nice if you could take a second to review it. Like, I bought my own book on Amazon because I had to buy a copy for my mom. And then when I, because I gave her copy away to an awesome man that I met in the villages. I think we told you guys about this.
We did.
Anyway, long story short, I gave him mom's copy. And then mom was like, come on. What about my, I need it back. And I was like, okay, my stash of what I have for books is at home in New Hampshire. I need to order one off Amazon. Ordered off of Amazon. As soon as I did, it was like, review your purchase. And I was like, oh. Now's my time. I can review my own book. And I mean, I could really, like, I could really write a whole big diatribe here about how, like, oh, this book
one star,
my life.
Too wordy.
Oh, my, right? But I didn't do it because I did not do it. And because it felt too scammy and slimy and weird to review my own book and give my own book 5 stars. I was like, that's embarrassing and cringy and weird. So I'm not going to do it. But it would be so amazing if a real person that's not me could do it. So if you did buy my book and you never reviewed it, would you review it? That would mean so much to me, because it really helps the books like rise in the ranks when they get like nice reviews and stuff. So that would mean everything to me. And I get to read every single one and they all mean so much to me. So it'd be awesome. So I forget to ask for stuff like that. So I just did it. And now Sam's going to murder me. He's going to actually murder me. And he's got a potato timer on his phone telling me how long until my potato is crisp and ready. So I'm going to describe this photo now. This is a photo of a Bengal cat, all right, I don't know anything about the patterns of cats, I always forget, but this Bengal cat is like a really surprisingly light colored Bengal. Most of them kind of have that like jaguar kind of coloring, which is more of like a caramel sort of color, but this cat is like white, almost white with like the black kind of stripes. He's stunning. He's a Bengal and he has green eyes and his name is Nyx. And he, in this photo, is standing in... on a rock, but that rock is submerged under the water. And so this is a half underwater, half above water split shot of a Bengal cat, like I said, standing on a rock that's underwater. The rest of the underwater scene, it's like his little four paws that you can see on the rock. And the rest of the underwater scene has like these gorgeous, like just like pebbles kind of under the water, just like rocky underwater scene. And then above the water, there's obviously the top half of the cat's body, the swirly blue clouds in the sky with a sun flare in the background, and also a bit of like a log kind of that's floating in the water. Well, it's not floating. We'll tell you the story, but it's kind of sticking up behind him in the background as well. But the big draw is that split shot, half underwater, half above, with the little four cat paws on a rock.
Yeah, very, very nicely done.
And thank you. It was so succinct.
So
as they say.
Half underwater cat shot. This is not one that you see every day. This is a rarity.
This was a big dream, and I was like, okay. Basically, we're going to Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe is like the clearest lake. I don't know, like the actual scientific enumeration of where this lake sits on the clarity levels, but it is like one of the clearest lakes in the world. And some of these other lakes right in that area kind of have a similar like clarity level in terms of being able to just see underwater, basically. And I'm like, we're going here. We had shoots booked in. We had shoots booked in with like paying clients. But I said, Sam, I desperately want to get a cat half underwater. And of course, like the normal reaction from Sam is as follows.
That's not going to happen. Cats don't do that.
Yeah, basically. he's a realism guy. He likes his realism. And I said, no, I think there must be a cat out there in the world. I've heard of cats that love to swim, and I've heard of cats that go in the water, and I've heard of cats that are like adventure cats and they go outside. And I think I was following this one cat. It was like the cat was in like Russia or something, but it was like a cat that loved to swim. And the guy always had videos of this cat in the lake with him. You know what I mean? And I was like, come on, there's got to be a cat out there like in the U.S. that loves this. Obviously not typical for a cat to love to swim, but Bengals. And again, I'm not mad. I love cats. I love them so much, but I can't say that I know a lot about cats like I do about dogs. Like, I feel like you could ask me any question about a dog and I pretty much would feel confident answering it. But with cats, I'm not as sure. But I do know that Bengals are particularly like kind of like wild and adventurous breed of cats. And often Bengals, like if you do it responsibly, I think there's definitely a big controversy with like ever really letting cats outside. But this particular guy who we worked with, and we'll get there, he was like really responsible with his like cat. Cat was always on a leash or it was in his backpack. Either leashed or backpack. Their cat was never just like out on its own and they would be like adventuring together and whatever. So I knew that I could probably find a Bengal that could do this because we had previously met a Bengal in Colorado that was going trail running with its owner every day, like up the mountain in Boulder where they lived. So it's like, okay. And I photographed that cat and it was amazing. And I thought, what if I take this to the next level and we get an adventure cat that also loves the water. Can we do a half underwater shoot with an adventure cat in Lake Tahoe? So it turned out that we did do a half underwater cat, but it was not actually in Lake Tahoe. Do you remember that?
Well, it was in Lake Tahoe, but not in the Lake Tahoe lake.
That's what I'm saying. It was not in Lake Tahoe. It wasn't in Tahoe. Technically, it was like in Truckee or something, like the next town. And it was like, basically, it was well, it's a lake called Fallen Leaf Lake. Mm-hmm. And if anybody is from that area, then you definitely know this lake. It's a tiny, like, little lake, but it's super crystalline, as crystal clear as Lake Tahoe, just much, much smaller, which is good because it means like there's much less issue with like waves, or there's no like watercraft on that lake. There's no boats or anything. As far as I know, I don't think they allow like motored boats on that lake.
I don't think so. No, I don't crowds. Think
so. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. So like you're not gonna have to worry about like wake and like, you know, like there's no tide in a lake really, but like moving water or like big winds coming through. And well, funny enough, we had a slightly different experience, but that was the idea. Was this is a much smaller lake. It's going to be much more private. It's going to be much easier for a cat to handle without as much stimuli as you would get in like a Lake Tahoe. So that's what we did. We found this lake, which was like again, a smaller kind of quieter experience with still crystal clear water.
Great. And so as far as this cat goes, did you put out a call to say, like, does anyone have a cat that can do this? Or did you just find someone and then reach out to them?
No, yeah. So basically what I started to do was I kept searching Instagram because I couldn't just find, like, any adventure cat. It had to be an adventure cat within, like, driving distance of, like, Tahoe. So I think I was, like, searching hashtags for a while on Instagram. And I was searching, like, adventure cat Tahoe, adventure cat Lake Tahoe, adventure cat like Northern California, adventure cat Sacramento, like places where I thought that people could drive in from. And then I think I Googled like swimming cat or like hashtag swimming cat Tahoe. And most of these things were turning up nothing at all. Like it just was too specific and it was like nothing was showing up. But I think I finally hashtag like backpack cat Tahoe or something. And this cat came up and it was this young guy who seemed like, just from his profile, he seemed like adventurous and fun. He was about our age. So I felt like he'd be easy to reach out to. He was clearly like big on Instagram because he was always putting up videos of his cat. I didn't see any videos of the cat like swimming or anything, but I did see a lot of adventure stuff like hiking and going on, you know, trails with the cat and having the cat on a leash. And it was a Bengal. So I was like, okay, well, maybe. So I reached out to him. And I think like originally the message got filtered out into like a second folder. I think that happens on Instagram. Like if you're not directly connected with somebody, it kind of goes into this like second folder where you don't necessarily see the message right away unless you check that every day. And so I think like I reached out to him and then like a while went by and I was like, oh, he's not going to write back or he didn't get it or whatever. And I think he finally like checked his like second folder and he found it, and it was probably a few weeks later, and he replied to me and was like, hey, like I you know, your message went to my other folder, but I just saw it, and are you still coming to Tahoe? And I was still like still maybe a week out or something from going. So so it worked out really well that he got back to me in time. And then he's like, listen, like, I love, you know, the idea and I would love to do like a I was like, listen, I just want to do like a shoot, get a couple of shots of this cat in the water. And I was like, so the big question is, like, does he like the water? Will he go in it? Will he, like, tolerate it? Will he more than tolerate it? Does he like it? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, he's always with me by the lake. And he's always, like, running around on the rocks that kind of, like, go out into the water. Like, the little peninsula of rocks that'll stick out into a lake. He's, like, always on those. And he's, like, and he's never, like, jumped in the water. But if the water laps up his paws, like, it doesn't bother him at all. He's never seemed at all bothered. And I was like, okay, well, shoot, you want to get together like when I'm in the area and hike out there with the cat and just try it? If he doesn't like it, no big deal. Like, we're not going to force him, of course, but if he'll get in there and he stands in it you know, he only needs to stand in it really for like 15 seconds, you know what I mean? Like, that's really, as long as I'm ready to take the shot, that's all I need. And if you guys thought that I just talked for a super long time without any breaks at all, you're right, because Sam went downstairs to check the potatoes.
But how is that different from any other time you talk?
I know, it's true. I was thinking that. I was like, they're not even going to know that Sam left the room for friggin' 10 minutes to go check potatoes, but that I gave myself up.
Excellent. So we pull in, we meet up with this kid, and sure enough, he's got this awesome like bubble backpack.
Yeah, the one from that new movie that came out, Argyle, which is like the spy movie.
That's right.
And this girl carries her cat around in that bubble backpack, and yep. his little face is always sticking out. He had one just like that.
Yeah, that was awesome. And so we went on a hike with these guys with his cat, and approached the water's edge, and we're like, what happens now? He's like, I don't know. I gotta take him out.
Yep. So he took him out, and the cat was like totally, really super confident, really like just amazing demeanor, super happy to be there. He was bouncing around, like the kid said, all over the rocks. He was just all over the rocks, no problem. But we had gone there a few days before, me and you, Sam.
Yep.
Just to scout it, to try to figure out, you know, where to hike to exactly. And then once we got there, like, what did we want to, like, whatever, what angle are we looking for, like, where's the sun gonna be, whatever. We went to do the whole thing. So we go there, and like we go there, and it is perfect. It is super crystal, like I said, crystal clear, sparkling water, totally tranquil, peaceful, quiet. The water's like still as glass. We're like, wow, okay, this is going to be an awesome spot for this. We found lots of cool logs and rocks that were half submerged. So we thought, okay, this is going to be awesome. So then we're like, perfect, cha-ching, you know, put this in our back pocket, go home, get ready to go back the next day or a couple days later or whatever with the actual cat and do it. And then when we went back,
yep,
I'll take a breath and let you explain.
Yeah, please do. Mm. It was no longer tranquil, as you say, but
tranquility.
But we had a very choppy waves, which was so weird because I didn't think that happened in a like a smallish lake.
It was like the waves were crazy. It was, but it was okay. But that was the whole thing. It was super windy the day we went back.
Yep.
The wind was like kicked up into high gear, and because these are like high mountain lakes, like they get a lot of wind going across them. So it was just like, I couldn't believe how different the scene was when we rolled up on the actual day. I was like, oh no, like internally panic.
Right.
Because the rocks that we like were once perfectly like exposed and totally quiet were there, and they were like sort of half exposed, and then a huge wave would come over the back of them and just splash them and like take them out. You know right. what I mean?
So you can't expect a cat to get into that and be like, good luck, cat. Hope you don't die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's been our...
And also like, it's just not, no cat wants a wave taking over like the bat. It's not...
No.
To the back of his head. You know what I mean? That's weird, and it's not copacetic for a cat.
So we show up that day, and the question is, what do you do? What do you do in that situation?
Right.
And the answer is, you do like the beavers do, and you build a dam.
That's right. So I feel so bad that I'm not remembering his name, the guy who is the owner of the cat. I feel like a jerk, but it's been a couple of years now. This was right before COVID, so this was 2019. I think 2019.
Let's call him... Rudiger.
Oh, that's so not nice. What if he listens to this?
Well, that's a nice name.
Okay, Rudiger. Okay, well, he was so lovely because he was like totally down for the idea. Super fun. His cat was chilling, and he was like, let's, what can we do to make this work? And I'm thinking, I mean, honest to God, I don't know how to ask a cat to stand on a rock, even one that's not even submerged in the water, just one of the ones that was like, you know, like a small boulder where the cat could sit and then the water could be at least around him kind of in the scene. I couldn't even have him sit on there because it was so wavy and the splashes were just like huge, and it was like really, it was a lot. So he was like, what can we do? And we kind of all brainstormed and figured out that we could build like a dam, basically. If we built a dam with like a lot of the stray like driftwood that we were finding around, like first we had to start with like heavy logs because they had to sink. You know what I mean? Because a lot of driftwood is so light, it's just going to float on top of the surface and move around. So we found like a bunch of logs, and we started to basically build a dam so that we could create almost like a little bay, like a small, tiny little bay on the water's edge that was like untouched by the waves, so that the water within the bay we created could be just quiet and calm.
Right. So our little spot that we kind of carved out for ourselves is probably only 5 feet like from the shore.
Yeah, maybe like stand on the shore's edge where the water hits and then go out about 5 feet, and that was like what we built a dam around. Yeah,
we weren't like damming the whole lake or something.
No, it was just a tiny spot. And first we like walked along the lake's edge until we could find like more of a cove, so it was already slightly calmer than the main lake, and then we built like a dam with wood.
Mm-hmm.
So And that took a while because we had, like I said, things kept floating. So we're like floating away and then like, or we'd build something and like it would just only accentuate the waves and the waves would hit it and then they'd like spray like crazy and then drop down. So it was still going to get the cat, you know, kind of wet. And I don't want to spook the cat. I wanted to be fair. You know, the other thing is when you submerge your camera half underwater, if the water line is moving a lot, it's almost impossible to get that perfect split half and half of the, you know, the cat's head above water, his chest right at the waterline, and his little feet under the water. It's like really hard to do that if the waterline's moving like crazy. And this day it was just everywhere, even in the little cove, like it was still, the water was moving like crazy. So it was hard to find that like clean line. And so, and of course, like you want to put the cat in there just for like a millisecond and then take him out, rather than having to work on this perfect like shot where you're getting the line exactly through the center. That takes a lot longer, of course. And so the cat has to wait longer while I figure that out. So it was a challenging day. But after quite a while, both you and let's call him Rutiger, you guys were awesome because you were both, you were picking up together. You were going into the forest and picking up like one man on each end, these big, huge logs, because we realized pretty quickly that our little driftwoods weren't going to cut it. Like the things we were finding in the water weren't going to cut it. So you had to go into the forest and find like legit logs. And then you guys carried them together down to the shore. And then you started to build this like wall of logs, basically, which, by the way, everybody, we cleaned up. We like put everything back where it came from when we were done. Like, I don't know that I could hurt anything, but I'm not one to mess with like natural environments and not fix it. So,
yeah. But then I threw a bunch of trash in there when you weren't looking
and then pooped on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is when you think about it, like out of context, like what a funny day. It's like, was. I'm like, met a friend, we built a little dam, we did an underwater cat photo shoot together, and I said, well, see you later.
So we finally did it. It took quite a while, but we got the like dam built to a point where I'm like, okay, the water within here is like calmer. It still wasn't calm though, by any means. It was still like way more challenging than I expected it to be, but it was calmer in our little cove. And then the only other problem was like, I didn't want like a logs in the background. I wanted it to be like cat, water, sky. That's it. I didn't want a bunch of crap in the background. So we had to build the dam in such a way that it was still relatively low profile because I didn't want the whole sky to just be filled up with a bunch of wood behind him. You know what I mean? So it was like kind of a challenge to get it right in terms of the composition as well. And the other thing was I didn't want you to see under the water and kind of see this beautiful scene that was going to look like it was going to go pretty far off into the background and then get stopped by a really dark, kind of hard element that would be, you know, kind of like, I don't know, like a black mark on the scene. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult, but we did finally get there after many different builds of a dam. And it kind of quashed the water enough to get the cat in for, you know, like 5 to 10 seconds, which was all we needed, really. And then I just had to wait for the moment where the wave wasn't overtaking the front of my my housing, my underwater housing. So that's kind of how we ended up working that out. It was a riot. It was a show for to be sure. And the cat was fantastic through all of it. I want to talk about the technical a little bit in a second here, but I will say also, once we were done with the half underwater shot, we also got a ton of other shots of the cat that day that are so cool. Some of my favorite cat shots I've ever taken. They're so cool.
We got one of him on a very cool little tree log thing kind of coming right out the camera. It's very
really
sweet.
It's really rad. So let's share those as well, like on the Instagram throughout the week. So this is our main feature photo is the like half underwater cat, but let's make sure we also share some other awesome ones from that same day of this cat. Because like I said, it was windy and it was crazy, but all of that was like fine once he was out of the water. When he was in the water, it was the biggest like deal of trying to control all of the elements. But as soon as he was out of the water and just like climbing around on trees, then it was like whatever. It wasn't ideal that it was windy, but it also was not a huge deal to just figure it out. So those other shots were a lot less stress, you know, kind of stressful and produced. They were just like, let the cat do what he wants and let me see what I can get of this.
And aside from hiking in and building the dam, I would say the actual shoot part was really quick.
Yeah, I mean, this cat was so awesome and he was so chill. And I gotta tell you, like, cat eyes are so unbelievable. They're unbelievable, especially if you add like a little light to them. And I'm sure anybody here who listens to this who photographs cats like in a studio would like totally agree that cats' eyes are just sick. They are so endearing. They are so connecting and like full of just like soul and spirit. I think cats' eyes are rarely unphotographable, whereas with dogs, sometimes you get like eyes that are much darker than other eyes, or eyes that are small, or most dogs have amazing, amazing eyes, but you just from time to time you get a dog with like more difficult eyes. I don't want to call any specific breed out, but because I think every dog is so unique and individually different. But I will say, as a rule, I find it challenging to photograph golden retriever eyes. I think that they're like usually really dark, like and they're kind of deeper seated on the face. So I have a hard time sometimes getting light into their eyes, and they tend to have darker eyes, like dark browns or like almost black eyes. I don't know, maybe that's not right. Maybe they're not black, but I just always find them a little bit more challenging. So that's just an example of sometimes having like maybe a more challenging physically looking dog. I think golden retrievers are stunning, by the way. I've just had some that have been hard on the eyes specifically.
Well, with dogs' eyes, like they have very little whites of their eyes that show compared to humans. It's, you know, more so like the colored parts.
Yeah, like the iris is gotta be like good. And Junie's a great example of like excellent dog eyes. She has the most beautiful colored eyes. Joshua has nice eyes, but they're much darker. So they're not as like photographable as Junie's.
Right.
So it just varies.
And if your dog's eyes are really dark, that means that all of the eye is going to appear really dark, not just like a little bit and then they have the white surrounding them.
That's a good point. And then dogs also like, you know, will have like glaucoma or like cataracts or whatever sometimes. And I think cats get that too, but for the cats that I've photographed, at least so far in my career, even the older ones have had just much more sharpy, crystal clear eyes than older dogs do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my long rant about how friggin' awesome cat eyes are.
So tell me about the technical part of this photo, and then you got a potato to eat.
Oh my God, I got a potato. My potato's gonna have sour cream and cheese. Okay, so we shot this with the Canon 5D Mark III.
Yeah.
Yep. In an Eyclite underwater housing. And normally we connect underwater lights to that, but this was very shallow.
Too shallow for that.
Yeah, it was very shallow. Like it must have been seriously like 8 inches of water. So I could barely even get my camera deep enough to get the split. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The camera was sitting on the pebbles under the water, like in the water. By the way, this place was slammed with crayfish, which not a lot of things freak me out, but those things kind of freak me out. They're these like tiny little lobster looking things mm-hmm. that are friggin' everywhere, and they have like pinchers, but I don't think they really pinch you. But
I don't know if they're strong enough
like
to.
I don't really know. I've never heard of like crayfish injuries or anything, but they're kind of creepy little things, and they were everywhere. So like I was, you know, sitting in the water, and I had my camera like on the ground, and I had my, you know, like my skin of my legs was just out, and there was like crayfish just like creeping around everywhere. Ooh, sick. But anyway, so yeah, so the camera was like touching the pebbles on the ground underwater, and then I had like the split, and then
And this is your 16 to 35.
This would be my 16 to 35, right? Yeah, because that was the... When we don't use that particular housing anymore, that one... Something happened to that. What happened to that?
It's a long story.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that on another podcast. But that housing is particularly designed for the 16 to 35. Well, it depends on the like dome that you get, and the dome has to be sized for the lens that you are going to use. So I set that rig up to be the 16 to 35. So the widest that I could possibly be was 16 mil. So this was shot at 16 millimeters. And then the other facts about it is do you want to guess the aperture, Sam?
Ooh, aperture, this is F13.
Oh, you're damn close, actually. F11.
Oh, man. That was going to be
my
first guess.
Yeah, hell yeah. F11. ISO's all the way down, of course, is it. Hopefully, it always can be if these are like shot at a nice time of day. So that's ISO 100. And then 1/200th of a second, simply because we were synced with a strobe and that was the sync speed of my camera. Like I said, no underwater strobes because there was absolutely no room for them. So because this was so shallow, So you know that thing the iPhone does where it finds the subject in a photo and it does this like glowing light around?
Yeah, so you can cut them out and make them
thicker? Yeah, sorry. I was looking at the photo on my phone and I was like, what is happening? What an awful... I was like, is this like a cutout job? But I know this is not a composite. This is not a cutout job. Anyway, that's what it was. It was the phone like making a halo around the cat to show me I can cut it out.
Yeah,
that's
by
funny.
The way, if you don't know that you can do that and your photo is on your iPhone, you can press and hold on an image. It will give it a little glow. And then
look
when it lets go.
Add sticker.
Yeah, you can go to add sticker. And that makes it so that when you go to send a text message, so like when you send...
He's in there!
So when you go to send emojis and that sort, or gifts or that sort of thing, you can also send a cutout of whatever you want to send. So if you have cutout stickers of your own dog or anything like that that you want to send to people when the mood strikes, you can do so.
No way. You also have a sticker in here, Sam, of a Mario and Luigi potato wedding.
Yes. It's okay. Unrelated to today's potatoes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's just potatoes everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so yeah, 1/200th of a second, like I said, f11, 16 millimeters, and ISO 100. That's pretty, like, typical for me. That's all quite expected, you know? I don't think there's any surprises there, but probably the only surprise is that we lit the underwater part of it with the sunlight. That's the best we could do because, like I said, there's just not enough physical room to have the strobes underwater. So because the water was so clear and so shallow, the light was really, the natural sunlight was really penetrating just through to the bottom of the, you know, lake, at least at the edge where we were at on such a shallow depth. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to be able to, like, lift the shadows out of the underwater in post. And the sun's going to do a good enough job getting me the illumination I need under there. So all I need to focus on is lighting the top half of the cat against the sky. So that's what I ended up doing. And actually, I'm looking at it now and it looks really good. It looks totally fine.
Yeah, you killed it.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, it was a massively a team effort, as you know, based on that story. But yeah, the cat, his name is Nyx, by the way. Did I say his name? Little Nyxie? What a good guy. What a good guy. Look at this man. Young man. And his eyes are so green and so beautiful. And he's got those little tiny, like, slit in the slit eyes because there was so much sunlight that day that, they're like pupils closed or whatever. And then you get like nothing but iris and it's all green. These eyes are amazing, amazing, amazing. So shout out to cats. Let's shout out to cats everywhere real quick. Hey cats everywhere, good on ya. Also, I would love to have you, all of you, some of you, one of you, or 10 of you, but my Joshua man would murder you all. I'm sorry, so I can't have a cat, at least not right now.
Yeah, no murders,
but we will have cats someday, Sam, I promise.
We'll talk about okay. It we'll talk about getting a tortoise and a macaw first. Things that are going to outlive us and then we'll have to will to other people.
Oh yes. But hey, long story short about the Nick's half underwater cat photo, I'm really happy with it.
You should be.
It was everything I kind of like dreamed it could be, except for how challenging it was to build a dam.
Yeah, but that's part of the story. That's part of the fun. Yeah. That's part of like just figuring out like the puzzle and making it happen. And you did a great job. Kaylee, you know what time of the podcast it is?
It's a potato, potato, potato time. A potato is not a tomato.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.